Well, the question I really have is what exactly would it be banned for? I mean, ultimately, I think we live in a country where hopefully free speech is celebrated. And I think one of the things that, for me, comes up with this, when I'm obviously saying this as someone who's Jewish, so clearly I don't like the idea of neo-Nazis talking about, you know, hating Jews or Muslims, of course, but something I think about in a democracy or a real democracy that we should have the right to be offended. And there's a difference, I think, between incitement to violence and actually someone who believes in simply saying things that are offensive. And I think neo-Nazis, in 99.9% of the cases, simply are gathering together, talking about how much they believe in white pride or whatever it may be, but we should be able to hear that. It doesn't mean we have to enjoy it, support it, like it, but I think they have the right to do it. So to me, banning it, in fact, would be counterproductive because often, as you see overseas, the more publicity you give to groups like this or individuals like this, the more they thrive. So if it was being ignored, which it should have been, as opposed to, I think it was picked up by some of the Queensland press, it would have been much better.
Look, he says, independent MP Rob Messenger, that is, says the Germans have banned neo-Nazi gatherings. Why can't we? He reckons, you know, not banning something like this makes us an international laughingstock.
Well, I would actually say the opposite. I mean, I can't think of many countries where a neo-Nazi event would actually be banned. I mean, America, for example, is a classic case. I mean, we can all criticise America as often we do, but the truth is, in the States, it's virtually close to impossible to be banned for saying anything in the States under the First Amendment. So, obviously, we aren't America. We haven't got a Human Rights Act here, which I think we should. But ultimately, in Australia, within reason, and again, that's obviously a decision made by state and federal bodies, we should have the right to say what we want to say. And again, I don't say this because I like the idea of neo-Nazis gathering, but ultimately there are many people, for example, on the conservative side of politics who would loathe the fact that many on the left or the progressive side say things fundamentally against, say, the US mission in Afghanistan or the belief that they should support, say, the insurgency against our boys in Iraq. This, in some ways, could be seen as deeply offensive to people. We should have the right to say it. That's not inciting violence against people in Australia. It simply believes the idea that free speech actually does mean being offended. That's actually ultimately that should be the ultimate test about what a free society is. Not views that we agree with, views we disagree with. That, to me, is the ultimate test.
So you seem to be drawing the distinction that the Queensland Attorney General does, which is to say causing offence is different to incitement. So what if people were actually inciting others at this festival? You'd have a different view.
Well, ultimately, I suppose you could argue that at a neo-Nazi event, are they likely to not be inciting violence? I mean, there's obviously a very, very fine line, and I think in often these kind of events I've seen overseas, you have people who, yes, are generally on the fringes, generally believe in the right of whites to gather, generally have an issue with refugees, immigrants, Muslims, etc. But again, I think we need to differentiate between individuals who believe in the right to incite and those who believe in the right to free speech. And I think in Australia, often racial vilification laws, in my view, are too narrowly defined that actually say that we don't have the right to offend people. And it might be a strange thing to say as someone who is on the left that we should have the right to offend and be offended. But if we only allow views that we agree with or we don't think are too offensive to anyone, I would argue we don't live in a free society.
You've actually written about the Bolt case. Of course, last year, Andrew Bolt was, busted, I suppose, for making a whole lot of comments that people thought were problematic around the right of some people who identify as Aboriginal, to make comments as Aboriginal. But you actually took, especially as you say, as someone who calls themselves from the left, you took quite a different views from some other people from your side of politics. So tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, Andrew Bolt, for those who don't know, obviously is a major columnist with the Herald Sun in Melbourne. He's arguably Australia's most popular blogger, and he's written for years as a conservative about views that I fundamentally oppose. I mean, there's not much Bolt and I would agree on, but a few years ago he wrote a few columns essentially saying that, I think it was 9 Aborigines were kind of white Aborigines and essentially sucking benefits from the state and weren't really real blacks, deeply offensive, and many of them sued him under the racial vilification laws in Victoria, saying you haven't got the right to vilify us as that, and essentially telling lies. So there were two judgments. The first one said that his columns actually included statements of wrong. In other words, he made mistakes. That's not acceptable. But the second more important point was that he was found to have breached racial vilification laws, saying that there was a legitimate right of those 9 Aborigines to feel upset, to feel offended, to feel deeply pissed off, essentially, by his writing. My view, as opposed to many on the left, who I think celebrated the decision because they hate Andrew Bolt and everything he stands for, is to say, I feel uncomfortable with the state or a legislature saying that we don't have the right, again, to offend people. Nothing he said, arguably, or inarguably, in fact, really is inciting violence against Indigenous people. There's no evidence, I would suggest, that there's incitement against them. He was essentially being deeply offensive against them. But I think that, again, if we have a situation in Australia where, and this is not a very popular view, I acknowledge that, especially on the left, if we have a position that says that someone like Andrew Bolt has to be careful what he says in terms of Indigenous people or Muslims or whatever, those laws historically are always eventually used against the left. Always have been, always will be. They haven't been thus far, but they will be. And I'll give you a very quick example. There's a lot of people in the last few years who talk a lot about BDS, boycott, divestment, sanction against Israel, who believe Israel is an apartheid state that commits crimes against the Palestinians. Now, many critics of that argue that people are targeting Jewish businesses because they are Jewish, not because of their tie to Israel. So those laws in Victoria, for example, could equally be used against an individual or a group who is claimed by, say, the Jewish community to be targeting business X because it's Jewish. And that is fundamentally not true, but it could be, I would argue, put forward that in a court of law. So, again, I guess I'm not defending Andrew Bolt because he's Andrew Bolt. I'm defending his right to be offensive, and I think we should, in a free society, almost celebrate the idea that offending someone is the ultimate expression of free speech. Now, I don't say that because I like the idea of people like him being able to say offensive things against Muslims, Jews, Indigenous people. That's not the point. The point is that I would argue that in a free society like America, the ultimate expression of free speech, a country like the States, we should have that right. And I think those who take that away are playing a very dangerous game.